The Old Testament lesson is from Isaiah chapter 40, starting in verse 28. Don't you know? Haven't you heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He doesn't grow tired or weary. His understanding is beyond human reach, giving power to the tired and reviving the exhausted. Youth will become tired and weary. Young men will certainly stumble. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will fly up on the wings like eagles. They will run and not be tired. They will walk and not be weary. The gospel lesson is from Luke chapter 10, starting in verse 38. While Jesus and his disciples were traveling, Jesus entered a village where a woman named Martha welcomed him as a guest. She had a sister named Mary who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his message. By contrast, Martha was preoccupied with getting everything ready for their meal. So Martha came to him and said, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to prepare the table all by myself? Tell her to help me." The Lord answered, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and distracted by many things. One thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the better part. It won't be taken away from her." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
And so we do enter this somewhat conflicted time of year where on one hand the world tells us it's time to party, it's time to celebrate, it's time to wrap up this previous year in December with more parties, more shopping, more baking, more decorations, more gifts, more. There's a reason the Thanksgiving Day Parade is hosted by Macy's. It's the beginning of the Christmas shopping season. You end the parade, Santa comes in, and everybody rushes into the store to buy their gifts. And yet, at the same time, we find the church calendar already hitting the reset button, already turning us into the new year, and already calling us to a time not of speeding up and gaining more, but of slowing down, of resting in this season of increasing darkness, of awaiting and anticipating the coming of the light of Christ. And not only waiting for it to come in some far-off future, but also preparing to receive that light even now in our hearts, in our lives, in our families, our relationships, and in our world, as Christ is always coming through the Holy Spirit. And so we find this a time to slow down. We find this a time to seek peace and wholeness. A time where we find one gift in a manger instead of so many under a tree. A time to step back and learn to appreciate the small, simple gifts in life. Talking about today the idea of slowing down, as we saw with Mary and Martha, and the importance of slowing down in particular in our culture. Now, for some, that may be a welcome thought. For some, the idea of slowing down in the midst of our hectic, chaotic schedules might be a wonderful dream that seems almost too good to be true and impossible to grasp. Those who work more physically demanding jobs may intuitively understand the need for rest. There's a point where the body just wears out and we realize we have no choice but to stop. Sometimes people find themselves in the hospital or in major health crisis that forces them to stop. And they realize how long it's been since they've really, truly rested. But we, in our culture, most of us don't work such physically demanding positions anymore. And we find ourselves more mentally and emotionally exhausted. And that's a lot harder to identify. The body tells you when it needs a rest, but if we're sitting in front of our screens all day, our bodies might be too rested. And our minds may be too chaotic, and we are mentally and emotionally worn down. I find it particularly interesting that we say that we are worn from, say, for example, too many screens in our culture, and yet what do we do when we want to rest? We turn to the screen. We say, oh, we don't want to be on the computer all day at work or at school, and why do the kids have to be on the computers all day? And so then when we rest, we turn to our screen, our computer, our phone, our TV. The average iPhone user, a study was done recently that said that the average iPhone user touches their screen about 2,617 times per day. I said this in another place I was teaching one time, and somebody said, that's okay, I'm an Android user, I'm good. I wish that were the case, but probably not. We are filled with distractions everywhere we turn. We are filled with easy go-to opportunities to numb our minds, to not think about the chaos and what's going on around us. We are like Martha, filled with expectations both externally in terms of the circumstances and all that we need to do around us, and sometimes expectations that we put on ourselves, that we set the standard so high. I can admit I probably generally would prefer to be like Martha as well, to keep ourselves busy, to keep ourselves occupied. For some, we've said the idea of slowing down may be a wonderful dream. For others, it may be a nightmare. For others, it may be terrifying to stop. People that are just constantly on the move, they constantly have to be doing something. I told Ariana this morning that my sermon was on the gift of slowing down. And those two words, gift and slowing down, do not go together in the same sentence for her. Slowing down is not a gift for some people. Some people just need to be constantly moving like Martha. And I wonder how much we miss out on in this constant motion. How much of the seasons of our life go by in a blur and we don't even realize or remember what it is that we've missed. One event after another, one task after another. We as a culture are addicted to activity. I remember trying to do silence and prayer in some different churches that I've been in, and inevitably the silence is broken by somebody that is uncomfortable with just sitting for even 30 seconds or a minute. Sometimes people will break in with a prayer request. I've even had it where we're in the prayer time, and I ask for just 1 minute of silence. I even set the timer. And within 5 seconds, somebody burst out with an announcement that they forgot to make about an upcoming yard sale. This gives us a hint of how anxious we are as a culture, that we can't stand dead air, that we can't stand moments of stillness, that what Mary was doing with Jesus, no wonder, seems odd, because we look at that and we say, those people are lazy. Those people need to get to work like us. But the truth is that too much busyness separates us from God. It separates us from others, and it separates us from our own soul. Corrie ten Boom said, if the devil can't make you sin, he'll make you busy. Love, joy, hope, peace, the gifts that we celebrate this Advent season, each and every one of them require being fully present in the moment. They're incompatible with hurry. Have you ever noticed that hurry brings out the worst in your relationships? When you're rushing around, when you're not paying attention, when you don't realize what the other person has said to you because your mind is somewhere else, usually doesn't bode well in those relationships. Love cannot function in a world of hurry. We can't find peace. We can't find hope and joy if we can't sit still. We are even at the point in our culture where we have apps on our phones to remind us to do basic things like breathing, standing, walking, drinking water. I mean, just think of the absurdity that we need a timer to go off to remind us that we need to stand up or get a drink of water. These are basic human needs. And somehow we feel like if we pause to do them, we're betraying our need for being active and doing something more important. We try to sit for 5 or 10 minutes a day to breathe, and our mind wanders. And I wonder if we can just sit and pause and take that deep breath. And the minute our mind wanders, we hear Jesus and his words to Martha, to you, that you are busy and anxious about many things, but only one thing is needed. Turn over your worries to God so you can be fully present. John Mark Comer was once talking to Dallas Willard, a great spiritual teacher, and he asked for just one word of wisdom that he would give for the spiritual life. And Dallas Willard's response was, "You must ruthlessly eliminate hurry from your life." Ruthlessly eliminate hurry from your life. John Mark Comer proceeded to write a book called The Ruthless Elimination of Hurry. This was recommended to me by a spiritual director in preparation for a session I was doing recently, and I read it in one night. Started about 9 o'clock Friday evening, went to bed about 2 in the morning, finished it up early the next morning, within 12 hours. I think I missed the point. But in that book, he talks about the command of Sabbath. And he talks about the irony of the fact that Sabbath, or rest, needs to be commanded. It's the only spiritual practice that is actually given as a command and not just talked about as a general example. It's actually in the Ten Commandments, because those were written to a culture who was enslaved, a culture who was driven by their productivity. Their very lives depended on how many bricks they could make. It was all about what they could produce. Sound familiar? We may not be slaves in the traditional sense, but we are certainly slaves to productivity, to the need to do more, to have more, to make more, to produce more. John Mark Comer writes about Sabbath. Maybe that is why God had to command the Sabbath. It seems like commanding that we eat ice cream or have loud music or go to the beach. You'd think we'd all be chomping at the bit to practice Sabbath rest. But apparently there's something about the human condition that makes us want to hurry our way through life as fast as we possibly can, to rebel against the limitations of time. Jesus himself invites us to come, all who are weary, all who are carrying heavy burdens, and he says, "I will give you rest." He says, "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Frederick Dale Bruner writes this about that passage, that a yoke is a work instrument. It's the tool that is used to put oxen together so that they stay on the path when they're plowing the fields. The oxen don't wear the yoke when they're not working. It's ironic that Jesus would talk about taking a yoke when he's telling us to rest in him. You see, the rest we're talking about, the slowing down we're talking about, is not an escape from work. It's not an escape from responsibility. It's not saying to all of us Marthas, "Who cares, just leave the dishes pile up, let the laundry pile up, it doesn't matter, just let it all go, ignore work, ignore responsibility, and have fun with the rest of your life." That's not at all the kind of rest that Jesus is talking about. When Jesus invites us to rest, he invites us to take on a yoke, a work tool. When Jesus offers a yoke, Frederick Bruner writes, he offers what we might think tired workers need the least. Maybe a mattress or a vacation, but not a yoke. But Jesus realizes that the most restful gift he can give for tired people is a new way to carry out their lives, a fresh way to bear their responsibilities and their work. Realism sees that life in a succession of burdens that we cannot get away from. Instead of offering escape, Jesus offers us equipment to handle those burdens. His yoke develops a balanced way of carrying life that is more restful than the way that we have been living. And so Jesus invites us into this rest, into a way of working and living and celebrating in balance, in a way that he carries the load and the burden alongside of us. The invitation to slow down is indeed a gift, but it's not an escape from work or responsibility. It's about learning a new rhythm of life. It's about learning to work in such a way that we are doing what is most meaningful, that we are fully present in whatever we're doing. How much of our work is distracted, at least in my case, because every time you sit down to one task, your mind goes to all the other tasks that you feel like you ought to be doing at the time. Am I the only one? We can't even focus on a single task. There's movements now. We're talking about deep work, where you just sort of set a timer and dig into, okay, this is the one thing I'm doing for the next hour and nothing else. But we have to really work hard to force ourselves to push out all distractions. We run so fast, and Jesus is inviting us into a way of life that says, be fully present even in your work. Slow down. Pay attention. Really savor and enjoy what you're doing. Give your all to what it is that is the task at hand. Sometimes that is very productive. Other times that seems not productive at all, like sitting at Jesus' feet for Mary. But in either case, whether we're truly resting and being still or whether we're working, we should do it with the spirit of slowing down, the spirit of letting be what is, of letting go the distractions, of receiving this gift that says, you are enough in this moment. And all that is needed is the one thing, to be with Christ, to be with the Holy Spirit who has already come to us, even as we celebrate this season. And so consider your to-do list, even now, for the next couple of weeks. What do you need to say no to be free from some of this burden? What brings you the most joy? What are the things that fill you with hope and love and peace? Lean into those things this season. The work will happen. It'll get done. It always does. But rest requires intentionality. And to truly love God with all of our hearts and minds, and to truly love our neighbor as ourselves, as Tangela is walking with us through on Wednesday nights, requires that we slow down, requires that we pay attention, that we notice every moment, that we ruthlessly eliminate hurry from our lives. And then when we wait on the Lord, God will renew our strength. When we hope in the Lord, the prophet says, we will fly on wings like eagles. We will run, but we won't be tired. We will walk, and we will not grow faint. And so let us receive this slowing down, this season of waiting, this season of patience, this season of rest as a gift, not a burden. As God's desire to be with us, which is the whole reason he came in Christ in the first place.